Hello everyone and welcome back to Donkey's Garage for Season 3, Episode 2. This is a summary of last two races, being Australia and Japan. So we begin with Australia. What happened there? Very, very boring race overall. Incredibly boring. I didn't actually watch the race live. I had to watch it just a few hours later. And so I was trying to avoid people doing some spoiler as the race went on, and especially when at the end of the race, I was trying to avoid people telling me what had happened. And essentially, this was impossible. I mean, just as soon as the result was out, people texted me and so on. One among them was Lucas. He didn't do a spoiler. He just told me, "What an amazing race! Very interesting. You must watch it." So I said, "Okay, fair enough. It sounds promising. So let's see what's all about." So I started watching the race, and I mean, it's Australia. It's been home to very, very good Grand Prix. But I also think that over the last period, with cars being extremely difficult to follow one another and becoming narrower in relation to the cars with, it just has become one of those tracks which just precipitates this sort of turnover of events where it's just one car following another over and over for 52 laps. And so I didn't expect much in that sense. And overall, I think it didn't disappoint me in that regard. My expectations were low, and the race itself was not much. The race itself can be summarized in two main events. So the first part being the first five laps. First five laps, we've cars off the line, pretty stable. Nothing major happened. No major accident in turn one, which is usually a point of heat in Formula One in this specific track. There's often accidents in turn one in Australia. There's a right hand corner followed by it's a chicane followed by a left hand corner, then you have small straight, and then you've got this very narrow section with turn 3, 4, 5 that follow one another. They go all the way back. And so we tend to see this section as quite difficult to make, especially in the first part when your tires are still cold. So we arrived at corner one, corner two, everything was clear. And so the layout of the grid looked like it was going to be more or less stable for the rest of the race, safe any specific incident or perhaps accident or engine failure or something like that would come to really change the grid. And that is exactly what happened. There was a driver that lost the brakes, and as a result he had to retire. And that driver was no other than Max Verstappen, who was actually leading the race. He qualified first and he got off the line first. No trouble in that sense. And for the first 2-3 laps, he looked like very solid. He was being chased by Carlos Sainz, but it looked like it was just Max Verstappen doings, where in the first 4-5 laps, he's just trying to pull as much of the gap as possible, break the DRS zone, and then see you later, alligator. But in this instance, it looked like he was struggling. He was struggling as Carlos Sainz was skipping in his toes within 0.7 of his rear. in right in behind his gearbox, and it didn't look like he was able to really put to work his usual modus operandi. And so Carlos Sainz stuck behind him, and by lap four, Carlos Sainz actually overtook him in a fantastic overtake on the back straight going into the chicane section. It was fabulous by Carlos Sainz. It looked aggressive, it looked daring, it looked decisive. It was all you want of an overtake. Particularly you want this show of character, of driver skills, and most definitely that overtake was a testament of that. I mean, since he's been liberated of the immense pressure that he was, I think, feeling at Ferrari, having to fight against his own team very often, at the moment it seems that he's just become the driver he should have been all this time, where he's just driving for himself, he's just driving to perform, he's just driving to impress and to leave everyone speechless. And so just fantastic overtake on Max Verstappen, who admittedly, yes, he did suffer from a mechanical issue, but nonetheless you still have to dare to do that overtake, and he did it. I mean, it was an overtake on the outside on a point where it's very, very easy to lose the touch and hit the wall and then take both cars out. And yet he did it to perfection, and just chapeau for that. Also, Max Verstappen, just a few laps later, had to retire because his brakes issue aggravated, and he was no longer capable of driving the car. The brakes actually did catch fire, so it was impossible for him to stay on the race. He didn't even try getting back to the pits and try to extinguish the fire and perhaps do some tricks to keep it going. But I mean, admittedly, they're not still in a position where you need to be fighting for every point. And it looks that with the car they have, they are looking for a rather relatively easy championship ahead of them. For the rest of the race, it was just very, very boring for the next 50 laps. Nothing major happened. The cars just stuck one behind another, with Leclerc running second. It was a 1-2 Ferrari, more or less. Yeah, not much happening at the front. The one interesting factor was that Carlos Sainz did report that his tyres were a bit worn off by 5-6 laps to the end. And as soon as he said that, out of nowhere, Leclerc found the pace again and then went chasing Sainz in an attempt to steal the victory from right beneath his nose. Very cheeky by Leclerc, and it shows that he's desperate to make a statement. So far this season, what we've seen is a Leclerc that is nowhere near the competitive level of Sainz, and worst of all, he's showing that they might have done the wrong choice in choosing him over Sainz. I mean, so far the points are being brought by Carlos Sainz. So far, the results are there on account of Carlos Sainz. Performance-wise, Carlos Sainz has been faster in every race, except the one he didn't, of course, race because of his appendicitis in Saudi. So the question, I think, somebody in Ferrari will be asking at some point, should this trend continue, saying, have we made the right choice? Otherwise, Australia was average until the point where three laps to the end, George Russell came very close to Alonso. So they were running in fourth and fifth positions. and they were, sorry, fifth and sixth. And they were running very, very close. And as a result of the conditions of the track, of the condition of the tires, of overall, Fernando Alonso was quite against the barriers. I mean, he had nowhere to go at that point other than to defend with all he had. He was running out of tires. He was running out of ways to defend against a car that was admittedly faster than his. So at that point, Alonso showed his skills, his immense array of tricks that he's got, he's learned over the years, and he decided to defend, I think, aggressively, nonetheless within the limits. And so he allowed, he was trying to play with George Russell, where he would come closer, where he would extend a bit the gap and so on. But towards the end of the race in lap 51, it was evident that Russell was going to overtake him, and the obvious place to overtake him was the back straight, which is not actually straight, it's just like a long very long turn. You've got DRS there, and it's essentially the most obvious point to really attack. And for that, you need to come really, really close on sector one, and then you just go on sector two with the DRS, and you should be able to do it. And it looked like it was a done deal for Russell. And so Alonso decided to slow prematurely on turn eight, towards the back straight, in order to catch off guard Russell, force him to slow down just a tad too much, lose traction, and at that moment where you are off the apex again, you're essentially having a car that is just dragging because you're just not on the apex, you're just not on the right gear, and so on. So at that point, you're just trying to ruin the effect of the DRS to catch off guard your opponent. Russell was, I think, inexperienced, because I mean, that, I'm sorry, but age is one of those things you cannot fight. With age come experience, and you can most certainly learn things on books. You can most certainly learn things from the elders. You can most certainly learn things from previous experiences. But ultimately, it is experience that is going to give you a wide understanding of your surroundings. You will be able to apprehend, to interpret your surroundings because of your experience, right? And the more experience you have, the more likely you are to react appropriately to a certain situation, because you will have experience, you will have gone through similar scenarios that have given you a possibility to find common traits and to say, okay, I should do this or I should do that. And George Russell is a very young driver ultimately, and as a result, he doesn't have the experience he or at least compared to Alonso, he has very little experience. And so as a result, what we saw in Australia was him being caught off guard by a very old trick, but an old trick that was very, very, very much used back in the days. And it is not a bad thing for Formula One to still have drivers that have that sort of trickery, that have that sort of mindset. Quite the contrary. I mean, it's just seems illogical for Formula One, for the FIA, to try to extinguish all sense and manner of racing in the drivers. They want them to behave almost like robots, almost completely predictable behind the wheel. And that makes races ultimately very, very boring, because it's just a nice set of train wagons that follow one another, and you just wait for 50 laps to go around the track, which at the same time is something they have been fighting, because it drives audience off the off the couch. So quite nonsense. But as a result of Alonso's doings, he was awarded a 10-15 second penalty. He was demoted to place to number 8. Not the end of the world at the end, ultimately, but it's just disappointing to see that great driving is punished, and is made to look like dangerous driving, which is absolutely not. I mean, you do that in go-karting, you do that most certainly in every way of racing, so in every series, so Formula One should be no exception, and quite the contrary, you should be rewarding highly drivers that still have the skills, the capacity, and the mindset to drive for real, to race, to be aggressive, to be I mean, it was the same challenge with Max Verstappen, especially at the beginning of his career, where he was very aggressive, and the FIA found that was dangerous, and they were trying to calm him, to tame him, to bring him under control. And I think quite for the wrong reasons, because his aggressive driving was not wrong in essence. It was aggressive, yes, but it was something that was the standard back in the 90s. I mean, he's learned it obviously from his father, and back in the 90s it was much more aggressive driving. I mean, even more in the 70s with drivers like Fittipaldi, even with Ayrton Senna, he would crash the car against yours for no other reason than he would just contemplate the situation where if he didn't finish as long as you didn't finish, that was a victory to him, and that's what he did in Japan in 1990. So it's absolutely justified. It's cheeky, it's morally perhaps unsuited, yes, but racing is definitely not the ground to have morality debates. I mean, it's essentially war, and in war and love, everything is accepted. Yes, so that was Australia. Boring race overall, with some heat moments here and there, especially at the beginning with Max Verstappen, as I said, retiring, with Carlos Sainz bringing victory home with the Spanish and national anthem being played again. These days not so often, but it's nice to see that still we can be proud of flying high our flag from time to time. With Alonso having quite an interesting incident with George Russell, but thankfully after that, no bad blood between the two of them. It was quite a dangerous crash, the one that Russell ensued, because of his lack of experience. He crashed the wall, and his car was actually standing in the middle of the track for over a minute before the red flags were actually waved, which is quite dangerous, because cars could have come and really crashed again. His thankfully it was the last lap, and no one was behind, and a major accident resulted, but the stewards there were a bit slow. The FIA control, they should have seen the dangerous nature of these positioning in the track far earlier. And now we go into Japan. So 2 weeks after, the drivers now came into Japan, which it was an exceptional date. Usually it's a bit later in the year, just usually is towards autumn, but this year it was right in April, and quite fantastic track very exciting. It's an old track, it's a old school track, and it requires all sort of skills. I mean, it's fast corners, very fast corners with these Sennheisers. You've got the slower section, and then you've got great strengths, which give you the opportunity to put full power on your car. And if you look at it, it was also perhaps the first opportunity for cars to show their true colors in the season. It was more of an ordinary track where you could really see where teams actually placed in the grid. And the result was, I think, unsurprising, with Red Bull being first, then Ferrari, then McLaren, then Mercedes, and then Aston Martin, that being the top 10 at best, with perhaps some other teams that may invite themselves here and there exceptionally. Ferrari keep looking very, very good. They keep looking aggressive. They keep looking decisive. It's a very turnaround, especially in comparison with last year and even more the year before. Binotto's last year, they look like they know what they're doing. They're not messing up pit stops. They're doing their work. The strategy is actually working. Although, of course, all this is subject to the very annoying, but it is what it is, that they still try to favor Leclerc no matter what, ahead of anyone else, and ahead, of course, of Sainz. So, Max Verstappen qualified first. What a surprise! With Perez second, I think is very good by Perez. He's been showing quite a steady result over the last two races, even the whole season so far. He's done a great result. He's been steady, and he's perhaps the ideal driver at the moment for Red Bull. So he's bringing consistent points. He's supporting Max Verstappen without actually constituting a threat at any point. So with that said, Max Verstappen, he was all out in this race. He lost one race. He had no chance to fight for the victory in Australia. And he was determined to take back what was his, the first place in the podium. And that's what he did from beginning of the weekend to the last day. Admittedly, they were struggling a bit more than they had shown in other tracks, but still they were quite comfortably ahead of the rest. Ferrari were surprisingly unfit, especially towards the beginning of the weekend, where they looked like they had they were suffering, and then they had gone back the grid towards 7th, 8th. Especially during qualifying, they were just not getting out of that 7th, 8th position. Except for Carlos Sainz, that managed to qualify 4th in the end with a good performance with I think, out of nowhere. Qualifying continues to show the great result he's bringing so far. He's comfortable in that SF24. He's comfortable in his mind. It shows that he's confident, that he's aggressive, and he's outperforming once again Leclerc. As a result of that, the Sunday race was looking again relatively ordinary in the way the cars were going to be set in the grid. And lights off, Max Verstappen flies off, Perez follows. And so at that point you say, okay, the two Red Bulls are gone. What about the rest? The rest, they shuffled around. Norris tried to maintain that third position, and fighting probably with Leclerc, fighting with Carlos Sainz, fighting with Piastri, also there, and the two Mercedes and the two Astons perhaps just slightly behind, and in a 1.5 field. I mean, they're not the first tier, they're not the second tier, they're just halfway through, I think, at the moment. Perhaps Mercedes will have the opportunity to be a bit more competitive in certain grounds, but so far they've just been like Aston Martin, just struggling there. Aston Martin themselves, it was quite strange because for the first two qualifyings in Q1 and Q2, they were looking very, very competitive. I mean, they were topping the charts, P2, Alonso. And then suddenly in Q3, they lost the edge, with Stroll actually qualifying P16, which again, I mean, it's just not enough, especially when you're trying to develop a team and you've got one driver that is sort of dragging behind you. It's very hard to have performance and to develop properly as a team, the car, the strategy is quite hard, but okay. It is what it is. Alonso actually started on softs, which meant he was trying to maximize the first few laps, with the rest of the drivers actually running on mediums and just a few handful of them running on hards, trying to do one stint for the whole race and betting on very high deck. At the end, the mediums actually degraded more than expected, more than the hards, of course, but even more than the soft in comparison, because Alonso lasted at the end as long with the soft as the others lasted with the mediums, which made him relatively competitive, and I think it brought a good result. With a Carlos Sainz, he was fighting in that P6, P5, for most of the race, with Leclerc trying a one pit stop strategy for the whole race, which looked like it was going to work, and it was set to work, had it not been that for Norris there was actually running P3, and Leclerc P4 when Leclerc was ahead of him, when everyone had pitted. Leclerc went in to change his tyres, and then Norris, for no reason, he then decided to pit himself and protect, so to speak, against Leclerc. But it made no sense, because actually Norris was in a different strategy, something that was pretty blunt, pretty obvious, and McLaren didn't see. So yes, Leclerc was swapping tyres, but it made sense for him to swap tyres, because he was in one pit strategy, whereas Norris did not need to pit at that point, because he had relatively fresh tyres, and he was in a different strategy, so he should have just kept to the end, and he would actually have ended ahead of Leclerc. McLaren perhaps did a miscalculation. In the end, it was a 1-2 for Red Bull. And then Sainz, again, incredible driving. He pitted very late. It looked like he was sacrificed by Ferrari, because they sort of messed his strategy, and they pitted him, they fit him hard at the end. And what he did was just to say to Ferrari, okay, you screw me, but I'm going to show you that I still can do it. So he pitted for those brand set of hard tyres. He went for it. He did an amazing set of laps, coming from 8th, charging through the field, overtook everyone, including his teammate, turn 1, destroyed the crap out of Leclerc. I mean, it's very, I bet it's very hard for Leclerc to see his teammate overtake him on track, when you are promised to be the kid in town. I mean, your team is telling you we are behind you, and the guy that has been dropped is still overtaking you on track. Certainly not something you want to see, but he did it. I mean, he bloody did it, overtook Leclerc on turn 1 on the outside. Yeah, I still have to have massive skill to do that, a very daring overtake, and a great 3-4 for Ferrari. Good points, is still a steady one. And then came McLaren, and then came Alonso on sixth, which was a really good result overall. He did say that it was perhaps his best result in a long time in terms of racing skills. He had a car that was definitely not worth the sixth place, and he still managed to do it with racecraft, with patience, and he was able to hold back Piastri, to hold back Russell. He played again with all he could to trick his opponents. Towards the end of the race, Piastri was really close, and Russell was respect to Piastri again, very close. And so Alonso decided to drop back, let Piastri take his DRS, so that he could protect against Russell, and then essentially force them to fight. And as the Romans, as the Latin saying goes, divide and conquer, right? So if you let them fight, they will lose time, and that precious time you can use it to cover yourself and essentially keep the position. And that happened. That went to perfection for Alonso. He finished sixth with Russell behind. It was great by him. Then he did jiggle on the radio, say on the radio later on TV, saying, "Well, I should not really disclose the strategy I did, because maybe I'm going to get penalized by the FIA again, because they seem to really take all my skill sets as an illegal maneuver." For the rest of the race, there was an incident in lap one where Ricciardo and Albon crashed. Looked like Albon's fault, but it's just been a very bad weekend for Williams. I mean, during free practice, Sargeant crashed the just rebuilt car, rebuilt chassis. He crashed it allegedly because he was not certain where he was in the track. He got a bit lost and turned where he shouldn't and went against the wall. Thankfully, no major damage for the car. But again, it's just a bit that keeps mounting up. Ricciardo, just not the sort of drive result you would like to see. I mean, he's just very much underperforming, let's put it that way. A lot of pressure for him from Liam, probably from any other driver that is actually looking for a spot in Formula One, because he's definitely not proving himself. I mean, he's a good driver, but he was put back in the Red Bull family, hoping he would find back his confidence, but so far it looks like he's not able to do so. Whereas his teammate Tsunoda is actually doing quite the contrary. He's showing that he's matured, that he's grown, and he's become a better driver. He did a fabulous Japanese Grand Prix, overtook like hell. He did an amazing race, and brought 1 point back, finishing the top 10. It was really, really good for him. And I'm glad, because it's also a kind of boost for optimism and for confidence when you do great results in front of your home crowd. Furthermore, we have to commend Stroll, who actually, I think, did a really good race. He was coming all the way back from P16, but I mean, he did charge through the field, overtook. He did pretty nice overtakes on the outside, especially in the SS. Senna SS was very difficult. You have to have a lot of confidence with the car, and he did it. So great for him. I can only but commend him to really build confidence and achieve great results, because the team actually do need it amidst especially these reshuffling of Formula One with the potential exit of Adrian Newey in Formula One to another team. Aston Martin offered, I think, 25 million to Adrian Newey to join Aston Martin. It would be an amazing opportunity to have him in the team and to have a car developed by him. It's a team with a lot of potential. So I think Alonso should stay in Aston Martin. He's got better chances there. In the long term, it's a team that is vowed to success, and I think it would only be foolish not to recognize that, not to admit that. Otherwise, I think it was a great publicity, great PR move by Sainz, what he did in Australia when he finished. When he came first and said to the team over the radio, "Hey guys, tell Leclerc to come right behind my gearbox so that we can both cross the line together and we can have that ideal picture of the two Ferraris crossing the line 1-2. That's a message to all teams. That's a message telling them, you know, I'm a driver that actually looks for after the interests of the team, not only mine. So. With that said, I think there isn't much more to say other than, yeah, Formula One, they need to find a solution to these set of boring races. I think a lot falls on the side of the fact that the cars have developed so much that, again, you're having the original issues of being very hard to follow one another. It shows that drivers are struggling to overtake again. So it's not the same feeling you had in the beginning of 2022 with the fresh cars where it just felt like the cars were far more nimble in a way. Now they look again difficult to follow, difficult to set at the right pace and so on. Well, on that note, as always, thank you very much for listening. If you have any comments, please leave them on the box, on the comments. Don't forget to subscribe, and we'll be back for the next races. Coming up is China. We haven't been there in 5 years, so should be an interesting place to an interesting race. Let's see what happens.